BlakeRadio.com.
Are you ready? No, no, no. You don't understand. I want to know. Are you ready?
For the thousands in attendance and for the millions not watching around the world, none of this is on television right now.
Let's get ready to suck up!
Raw Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Come hell or high water, I am giving you Monday Night Raw. I am giving you a show tonight.
Featuring the likes of Sue Rockin.
Hi, Mom.
Lindsay Ward.
All of you men are simply intimidated. But most of all, men are intimidated by the fact that I have bigger balls than every man in this arena.
Interact with us live during the show and give us your takes on what you're for on Monday Night Raw.
I have received an email. The Raw General Manager says, and I quote,
now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Kane, that's got two words for you. I've got the look that drives a girl wild. I've got the move that really move her. I said chill up and down their spine.
Hey, it's better late than never. We're all post-show live right here on Raw Talk Radio. Represented as always by PW Mania and memlanepromo.com. Yes, better late than never and live right here on wildtalkradio.com. I am Sorokin, joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
We're here. Follow the buzzers and whatnot. And TJ Omega is totally the mole.
Well, we'll get into TJ Omega as the mole probably Sunday when we actually reconvene for WTR Sunday night, which we didn't do last night because, well, my internet's blow. Anyway, so Monday Night Raw opened with the one, the only, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I know everybody's concerned about all the personal feelings that I have regarding the competitors in the Hell in a Cell match. Many moons ago, I trained a young man who had aspirations of becoming a WWE superstar. And that man was Daniel Bryan. And I've always liked Daniel Bryan. On the other hand, I've also never liked Randy Orton. And yes, my best friend is still Triple H. So I can see why everybody's concerned, okay? But this Hell in a Cell match, it isn't about me. It's about the two competitors, and it's about crowning a new WWE champion. I respect the two competitors, and more importantly, I respect the Hell in a Cell. I was in the first Hell in a Cell right here in this very building. I've been inside it. I've been on top of it. I've fallen off it, and quite frankly, as I stand here before you tonight, and I think about it, I'm very glad I'm retired right now. Now, I saw what happened at Battleground and Night of Champions, and it was a crock, and I'm here to tell you it will not happen again. Two men are going to walk inside the Hell in a Cell, and I guarantee you one man will walk out the new WWE champion.
Now, Shawn, I can see right through you. It's not that you don't like me. It's that you resent me. You resent me because no matter how great you once were, I will always be that much better than you. And Shawn, that fact eats you up inside.
I know you're all rattled by everything that's going on, but you need to not worry about me. You need to worry about Daniel Bryan.
Worry about Daniel Bryan? Shawn Michaels, your little protege? I'm not just going to beat him at Hell in a Cell. I'm going to destroy him. I'm going to hurt him. I'm going to hurt him real bad, and you're going to have to stand there and watch. and you're going to have to stand there and count to three. You're going to have to stand there and raise my hand victoriously, and I'm going to enjoy every second of it. Shut up! Now, Sean, I'm no fool. Everyone here knows that you're no stranger to screw jobs. Hell, they're practically your thing. So listen up real clear when I tell you, Sean, if you screw me over at Hell in a Cell, there'll be no coming back from what I do to you. You understand what I'm saying? Is that clear? Are we clear?
You're trying to intimidate me, aren't you? You're trying to intimidate the special guest referee for Hell in a Cell, for your Hell in a Cell match. You know, a lot of people have tried and a lot of people have failed. You're not going to intimidate me. I know you think you're going to put your hands on me in Hell in a Cell. Heck, you might want to try it right here, right now. But I just want to tell you, if you do, I'm going to kick that pretty head off of those pretty shoulders. And if you're not down with that, I got two words for you.
Oh, watch out.
Oh, look at this. Randy Orton went for the RKO. And sweet chin music attempted by the Heartbreak Kid.
Oh, that close. That close.
All right, before we continue from that point on, what they did not air in that little clip right there was Randy Orton was talking at one point, and Sean was just no-selling it. Oh, you're talking to me?
And in that moment, Randy basically said that the people of St. Louis were not the brightest bulbs in the box, because, you know, he's from St. Louis, so in effect, Randy Orton called himself stupid on national television.
Yeah, he did.
Well done, Randy.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna insult your hometown. Don't insult yourself with it.
Alright, so after Randy Orton went for the RKO and Sean went for the kick, both Miz jumped Orton. And that would lead to our opening contest of the evening. But before we get to that, good start to the show.
Great start to the show. It's always nice to start with Sean. It's always great to see him. He looked wonderful, which isn't surprising as we just saw him last week. But, you know, he still looked really good. And I really liked how it's like you have Randy standing there. He's trying to be scary. He's trying to intimidate Shawn Michaels. And it's like you want to look at Randy and be like, fool, just shut up, okay? This man has been in the ring with every legend. He did Hell in a Cell with Taker. You're not going to scare this man. I'm sorry. You're just not going to do it.
It's not going to happen.
He's been to places you could never even dream of. And then on top of it, calls like, you know, well, Shawn Michaels has, the best record and, you know, for the Hell in a Cell or whatever. He's been in one. And he won from an assist from Kane.
He was actually...
Sorry, I just had to...
He was in two, I believe. Didn't he do Hunter?
Was he in two?
I believe he did Hunter in the cell once, I think,
maybe.
They did... No,
I don't know, still.
Hunter and Sean did the cell together, DX versus the McMahon family and the Big Show.
Okay, that's right. Okay, fine. He's done two. Still, two.
No, and what did we do in the first ever Hell in the Cell? In St. Louis. A minute later, Cole chimes in. Did you know that Shawn Michaels was in the first Hell in a Cell right here in St. Louis? Gee.
Yeah, because, you know, apparently we can't hear.
Apparently we can't hear what Mr. Michaels had to say. But yeah, it's always good to see Shawn. He was on point. Everyone knew that it was still very enjoyable. DX versus DX versus Legacy as well was in the cell.
Okay, so three. All right. So my bad. I'm sorry. Still, three. Three out of what? How many that have been in comparison to Taker and Hunter and... I think that's it. I think Taker and Hunter have done the most.
Hunter, for sure.
I think he and Taker are right there. Like, they're right on the cusp of each other.
Someone,
I think Taker still got him.
Someone do a fact check. Someone out there fact check it. Anyway.
Somebody Google it.
Googles.
To the Google!
I am not testing the Google power with everything tonight. Anyway. So, we have Miz and Randy Orton. They're having a pretty solid match for the two of them. Miz is making his comeback on Orton. Gets Randy Orton down for what they call the figure four. And, well...
Miz is going for here! He's off in that leg up! Figure four!
Dead! Oh, no. What is...
This means only one thing.
Why now?
Yeah, but...
And there they are, the Wyatt family.
So you have Bray Wyatt and the Wyatt family rocking and rolling on the, he's rocking away in the chair.
Yes, yes he is.
So he's rocking away and it causes distraction and Randy Orton to pick up the pinfall victory on The Miz. And well, I don't think at this point we've seen Bray move, because if you haven't been aware, Bray got himself a little banged up, deep calf bruise all over the weekend at a house show. Apparently, and by the way, Sean has 4 appearances, 3 wins in the cell.
Okay, fair enough.
So, this is all I'm sitting here waiting and waiting and waiting for The Miz to still roll around in pain and somebody to pick up the
My family.
You are the epitome of everything I loathe about this world, Miz. The limelight, the diamonds, the red carpet. And how much is it gonna take for you to satisfy this little craving, this obsession you have with fame? We are, Miz, together, tangled in this moment in a little spider's web. And I just want you to not be afraid, my child. I do not wish to see you suffer. I'm just gonna put you down. Follow the buzzers.
Okay, I want to know, number one, because, like Mark said, if you didn't hear, Bray Wyatt got hurt to the point that he cannot walk well. He kind of limps really badly. And from everything I've heard, he's been on crutches, like, pretty much all the time backstage, and he needs assistance to get out. So this is my question. Did they carry him out in the chair?
No.
I want to know that. Like, I would love to see pictures of how Bray Wyatt got out there. Because, yeah, I want to know. Unless he just, like, jogged out there dragging the leg behind him.
If he can stand around at CVS, he can walk to where the thing is, the chair is.
I'm sure he can, but I have this funny mental picture of Harper and Rowan carrying him out in the chair.
good promo by Bray, and the crowd got involved with Follow the Buzzards.
He got a nice reaction when the video played, and he cut the promo. He got a nice reaction after the promo. He got them to follow along with the Follow the Buzzards, so that's a really good sign that he's starting to take a little bit of hold. Because St. Louis is one of those towns that it's good to gauge the live crowd, because it's not a big market for them. So you get more of an, like, I guess, an average wrestling fan.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good to see that, you know, Bray starting to take a little bit more of a hold, which is good. I would like to call TJ Omega out, because what did we talk about on Thursday? We talked about this! Almost exactly! I think the words, Miz is the antithesis of everything Bray Wyatt hates, came out of my mouth. At some point. I know in one of our many conversations we've had about him. I know that for a fact.
All this.
TJ Omega, you are a mole! You are a mole, sir!
Shame he's not listening and can defend himself.
Yeah, shame he's lost in Pokemon World. But
we'll get his reaction on Sunday.
Yeah, we'll get his reaction on Sunday. But yeah, so, but excellent promo by Bray. I wish we could have seen more of him, and it makes me a little sad because I think he was actually supposed to be on the show more than he was. And I'm sure had he been able to walk, he probably would have.
Probably. That said, our second contest of the evening is Santino versus Fandango. Cobra distracted by Mrs. Fandango. Fandango wins.
Yes. Very solid match.
Nothing to write home about. Backstage, after the break, Paul Heyman's presentation all ready for Brad Maddox in his own office, apparently. So we get the highlights for what CM Punk did at Battleground. And Paul Heyman basically suggested that he wants to pick the stipulation for Hell in a Cell between Ryback and CM Punk. And he said, well, he wants Ryback versus once Punk versus Ryback and Curtis Axel in the handicap match. Brad was not too impressed and basically said, we'll leave it up to chance. We'll do a beat the clock challenge tonight. R-Truth versus Ryback, Punk versus Axel. If Ryback beats the clock, Paul will get to pick the stip. But if Punk beats the clock, Punk gets to pick the stip. Heyman wasn't happy.
No, Heyman wasn't happy, but they have to do what's best for business.
Speaking of what's best for business, Los Matadores versus 3MB. Again.
I'm seriously waiting for Drew to be like, yeah, F this, and walk off.
3MB lost, if you weren't aware. If you missed it last week or the week before. Hell, at least on SmackDown, it was Locales, or something to that effect.
We got El Locale!
We did have El Locale, but they called him Los Locale. Stupid. It's El Locale and El Locale. It's two of them. Anyway.
He has a friend.
He has a friend. Who was Canadian. Anyway, after the match, Jinder got gored by the mini bull.
The bull, the most over thing about the gimmick.
Pretty much at that point.
At least with JBL.
At least with JBL. JBL is in love with the bull.
He kind of wants it.
He kind of really
does. Which is
does.
A little freaky.
He kind of does, and this is where we're not supposed to sound. So, me getting prepared and it didn't mute. So, nothing much to say there. But now, as you kind of heard, a woman was about to talk. That woman be one half of the Authority, Stephanie McMahon, and she had stuff to say, and then, well, so did the game.
Yes.
Now, Michael Cole gave an interview on WWE.com saying sources close to the COO reported concussion, a broken jaw that had to be wired shut. Well, let me remind you of who this man is. This is Triple H. This is the 13-time world champion, the King of Kings, the cerebral assassin, the game. Triple H earned these names. He ruled the Attitude Era with an iron fist, and now he's defining a new era. And with my heart, Triple H is the WWE.
Alright, before we continue on that, Lindsay, you probably want to rant about something.
Rant about something.
You know, he ruled the Attitude Era with an iron fist.
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize Triple H was Stone Cold Steve Austin. Just pointing that out. Just, yeah.
Figured we throw that comment in there.
By the way, Stephanie was totally trying to bring chokers back tonight. Totally. I didn't realize it was like the early 90s again.
Well, she was referencing the 90s. Anyway. Now, we're about to hear who apparently had his mouth wired shut, but is no longer in the game.
Rumors of my demise have been greatly exaggerated. I've been the COO of the WWE for 2 years now, And believe it or not, as ridiculous as it sounds even to me right now, I did that all for you. I beside my personal and professional needs to support the WWE to ensure that it would be here for the future for each and every one of you. I became the authority here, knowing what I would have to endure with that role, because nobody likes the boss. So I put up with a lot. I endured the questioning and the accusations and the walkouts and the insubordination. But every man has his breaking point. And mine was last week while I was lying here in the middle of this ring, unconscious, while all of you chanted yes. While the whole world chanted yes. So, I guess here it is, Steph. I guess this is the way it is. I guess after all we've done, we're just the villains, right? You want me to be the bad guy? Fine. I'll be the bad guy. And I'll give you something like you have never seen before. The Big Show will grovel at my feet to avoid incarceration or financial ruin. Anybody in that locker room that defies our authority will beg to keep their job. And anyone that even thought the word yes had better start to pray as of right now.
All right, before the segment continues on a little bit, it was clear tonight the Authority are the villains. They're the bad guys, and holy hell, that was a fantastic promo by Hunter.
It really, really was. And they left out the part before this where Stephanie was talking, where basically they put Big Show's house up for sale. They are pressing charges for if he's trespassing on the property, for the assault on Hunter, that they're basically looting the house for anything of any value.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's basically they're going for the throat with Big Show. But yeah, this segment right here was so incredibly amazing, just for how it was done, for the promos that were cut, where it's basically Hunter and Steph are like, F you, we're in charge, and we're going to do what we want.
We're going to do what we want. When we want to do it, because we're the authority, and nobody can stop us.
And I like how they're separating separating them and their era by calling them the authority, not the corporation, but the authority.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a nice little touch where it's, because it's technically true. It's like they have their corporate flunkies, but not really. I mean, at the heart and soul of all this, it is Hunter and Steph. They don't have the stooges or the corporate champions or anything like that. It's just, it's Hunter and Steph.
Correct.
So, but yeah, this was fantastic.
As the fans were chanting, yes, 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 out walked Mr. Yes himself, Daniel Bryan. He just stood on stage, got the people chanting yes even louder. And then Alberto Del Rio attacked Daniel Bryan from behind. He knocked him down the ramp, laid him out by the ring, and Steph basically made the match. Oh, I forgot to tell you, Daniel, your opponent tonight, Alberto Del Rio. And then Hunter did yes, 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 which the crowd responded with no's every single time.
It was phenomenal. It was so phenomenal. It was so well done. It's like, that's how you do it. Because it's like Hunter's done trying to be the nice guy, trying to be the good guy. It's, you know, they've been doing this whole good cop, bad cop routine where Hunter's been trying to do what's quote unquote best for business. And it's just at this, what's best for this now to look out for his and Stephanie's own self-interest.
Correct.
And that's what we're going to start to see happening is it's not, well, what's best for the company, it's what's best for us. Because that's what we want to see. So we will have a winner in Hell in the Cell, but what's interesting is who wins. They have to deal with Hunter and Stephanie, and is that person, could, you know, necessarily who they want? Because in all likelihood, Orton could win, and they could screw Orton.
They could.
Especially since he seems to not have proven himself the face of, you know, really deserving of the name of the face of the WWE. He hasn't proven himself to really be deserving of the title.
Correct.
So, things are about to get really interesting with this storyline, especially now that Hunter has had enough, and he's in line with Steph, and they're about to go after everybody. But it led to another kind of thought in my head of those who defy authority are going to have to beg for their jobs. So are we going to potentially see Shawn Michaels begging for his job?
It's possible.
Because he's been out there saying, I'm not going to do what's best for business, I'm going to do what's best for the fans. So Shawn Michaels, the ultimate, sort of the degenerate, the ultimate really defier of authority, if that's a phrase.
The original rebel without a cause, the heartbreak kid, the degenerate himself, Shawn Michaels.
You know, and how are other people going to take that? Like certain dead men, how are they going to take that? Because there are other, you know, he likes to walk his own path, so.
You really have it. You really worked that hard to get take a reference into the show. You do realize this, right?
Well, it's not like they had to work hard to get a take a reference into the show.
So
we only got 20.
Yeah, I know, right? Throughout the night, we got videos about John Cena and his recovery, and there's a couple of them on YouTube. You should go back and watch them. It's amazing how with right out of surgery, he was, you know, three weeks out of surgery, he was able to lift weights. That's, say what you will about John Cena, that was impressive.
That was impressive. I'm not gonna lie. Although, I was a little annoyed at the promos because they were, like, acting like Cena had died.
Well.
Or he had, like, you know, life-threatening surgery or something. It's like, he just had a torn tricep.
It's John Cena. What else do you expect?
I don't know. Not that.
Up next, Beat the Clock Time, Ryback, R-Truth. R-Truth, at the very beginning, did the smart thing. Ran around the ring for a bit. Stalled for about, like, 20, 30 seconds. Smart move. Gotta run up the clock. That's the whole point of this match. Heyman was, like, freaking out. Come on, faster, faster, basically. Wanted some urgency, but there was really no urgency about the clock from Ryback. So it took him 5 minutes and 44 seconds to pick up the victory over R-Truth.
Ryback, for shame. You're letting your daddy down, you know? You're just letting him down.
So that's what he calls him, his daddy.
Daddy.
I don't want to know what he calls him, frankly. I don't need to know this information.
Hey, you're the one who brought it up. So Ryback went backstage. We have Steph McMahon walking around, and she has a big sarcastic smile on her face. She walked up to the Bellas, singling out Brie, especially said, "What with her about her fiance?" And you know, Daniel Bryan will have to say about her match against Tamina tonight. Nikki was trying to talk strategy, but Steph told her she will not be allowed at ringside. But Tamina will have AJ Lee at ringside. And by the way, congratulations on your engagement.
The biggest F you ever.
Mm-hmm. Steph was perfect in this role. Steph is great in her role lately.
Oh, she is. She really is.
She can be a bitch, and she's showing it right now on television.
She's owning this, and you can tell. She's just completely owning it.
Mm-hmm. It's time for Tons of Funk versus the Real Americans. The Real Americans won. After the match, we had a small giant swing on Tensai. It wasn't as impressive as previous swings.
No, I would agree.
So the one thing about this match, it's not even about the match. Basically, on the announcers called Antonio Cesaro the world's strongest man without basically calling him the world's strongest man. Basically, they said he's pound for pound the strongest man on the roster. Some big black guy might have problems with that phrase.
Well, could it lead to a feud between Cesaro and that guy?
Oh, God, I was thinking about that match. That probably wouldn't be good.
Dude, Cesaro could give him the swing. It'd be awesome.
The swing would be awesome. I don't know about the match itself. Just pointing that one out. Anyway, up next, Brie Bella, Tamina Snuka, one-on-one. Good match.
This was a really good match. It got... Brie got some good offense in. Tamina got some good offense in. Tamina came out looking like a beast.
Brie came out dominated early, but Tamina was able to take control and picked up the victory. The notable thing about this, AJ was talking to the belt the entire time.
It's only crazy if it talks back.
I think it might have. Anyway, after the match, we had a post-match beatdown of Brie Bella, shoulder breaker, Samoan drop, super flat splash. And then a Black Widow by AJ Lee. So there you go. Sends a little message to one Brie Bella right there.
It does. It certainly does.
So good stuff for the Divas. It continues that feud.
It does. And I was actually really impressed with Brie in this match, and I was happy to see Tamina get a match on Raw. Because they both came out looking strong, and Brie sold it like a champion for Tamina. And the aftermath was just fantastic.
I like that Brie Bella was able to counter, trip up Tamina with some sort of roll-through for into a submission. I thought, wonder who taught her that one.
Yeah, Brie dating Daniel O'Brien has paid off in more ways than one.
It certainly has. Speaking of Daniel Bryan, Stephanie McMahon is backstage watching the Goldberg DVD, Triple H beating up Goldberg. Daniel Bryan walked in and started yelling in her face, talking about, you punished, why are you going after Brie, blah, blah, blah. Basically what it was. And then Steph basically, stepped in and basically said, try to calm down sarcastically, and, shouldn't you have a fiancé to tend to?
Mm-hmm.
And the look on her face after she said that it was priceless.
It's like, could you be any more of a witch? I'm just curious. Like, seriously, Steph, could you really be any more of a witch? Not that we mind.
Not that we mind at all, no. So yeah, Steph continues to be awesome.
She does.
Up next, the next Beat the Clock Challenge matchup, CM Punk, Curtis Axel. Throughout the match, Heyman was like, don't try to pin him. Don't try to beat him. No, stop trying to beat him. Stop trying to beat him. And, well, Axel didn't win because, he went to sleep. After a kick to the head and a GTS, with 11 seconds to go, CM Punk wins the match.
And oh my god, the look on CM Punk's face when he realized he'd beaten the clock.
Mm-hmm. It was tremendous. So
it was like, gotcha, Paul!
I got you! It's like, I got you now, and you can't do anything, and I mean anything about it. So that means CM Punk gets to pick the stipulation for Hell in a Cell, and makes you wonder, what in the world did CM Punk pick?
We're going to have ourselves a handicap match at Hell in a Cell. Paul Heyman guy Ryback and Paul Heyman versus CM Punk.
Cool. CM Punk versus Heyman and Ryback. Cool. That's awesome. He learned from Paul Heyman. He went for a handicap match. That is awesome. It's just a handicap match.
Or is it?
In the Hell in a Cell!
Oh, my God. Oh, the Polaris can't run. He can't escape. He can't get out. And he can't believe it. He's caught.
CM Punk will be locked inside Hell in a Cell. With not only Ryback, but that man, Paul Heyman.
Yeah, normally everybody would be like, oh god, this is going to be awful, except you're sitting here and you know what's going to happen. And basically, I could just see it in my head now. CM Punk chasing Paul Heyman around the ring as Ryback plays incapacitated over and over and over again because Paul Heyman can't get out of the Hell in the Cell.
Mm-hmm.
I could just see it in my head, and it's hilarious. This is going to be amazing. Paul Heyman's going to die.
Paul Heyman's
going to be amazing.
Paul Heyman's going to die in that cell.
Well, somebody's got to go off the top.
I like Punk Ryback in a cell with Heyman. Match will be okay. Just Heyman's going to sell that match, and when you hear handicap match, oh, we saw it. No, now you got the cell. Heyman has nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. Shenanigans are going to fly in that one.
Pretty much, yeah.
So it's now leading us to a third hour, top of the mat, almost top of the hour, a little bit of past, 10:06, I think, to start it, or they went to break at 10:06, which is weird. We have our next contest, Daniel Bryan, Alberto Del Rio, non-title match, pretty good match.
Wasn't half bad. I mean, it was a match.
The two, you know, they had some good chemistry together. Good stuff.
They do. Yeah. Well, I think Bryan got a little distracted.
Yes. Yes. Yes, he did.
Oh. Yeah, he kicked out 2.5.
And so, Daniel. So close. Daniel, up here. I saw what happened to your sweet fiance earlier this evening. I'm very sorry that had to happen, Daniel. But don't worry. I'm going to check on her right now. I'm going to see if she's okay.
So you hear the Bella scream. And, well, Del Rio didn't let Bryan go that easily. Bryan was able to eventually get away from Del Rio. And he ran chasing to the back and tried to get his fiancée.
Are you there today?
Yeah.
Oh, we're dead.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
You okay?
Daniel, look out! Daniel! No! No!
Ah.
No.
Ah.
No.
Ah.
No.
So basically, Randy Orton beats up Daniel Bryan back in the trainer's room in front of the Bella Twins. Fantastic. Fantastic.
It's very considerate that he beat the crap out of Bryan in the trainer's room.
Mm-hmm. But this was really good. Gets more heat for the matchup in 2 weeks at Hell in a Cell.
Well, it's something of, we've been kind of waiting for this moment to see if Orton actually would go after Brie. It's like he's been approaching Brie, but it's like there's going to come that point where if we're going to get the real vicious Randy Orton back, he's going to go after Brie. Mm-hmm. And we got it without really getting it. Where you have Orton go to the trainer's room where she's alone, she's hurt, she's vulnerable, and Brian's in the ring with Del Rio, which means Del Rio can run interference on Brian and stop Brian from getting debris. So there's the potential of Orton being able to do some really serious damage to Brie before Brian could ever get there. It didn't happen because it's a PG show. But it could be, you know, it's the threat that it could happen and what this will do for their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at least on TV. It's not going to do anything in real life, but as far as the TV, quote-unquote, relationship between Brian and Brie, as far as she is a target. There's no potential, there's no maybe about it. As long as she's there, she is a target.
Correct. So we move on. By the way, Del Rio won by count out. If anyone cared, we go backstage in the office. The Shield is talking trash in the office about Daniel Bryan, and then made a snide comment about Bray, I believe. And then talked about the Rhodes Boys, and like Shield's in an office talking. Oh, and there's Stephanie, and Stephanie know that they lost last time they faced off against the Rhodes family. And, well, Triple H wasn't really happy, and then, well, told him, tonight you gotta finish it off, because tonight it's no DQ. I kind of liked that, the fact that it was no DQ.
Mm-hmm.
Because they realized, all right, Dean can interfere.
It's like, oh, look, Dean and his earring have something to do.
Mm-hmm. And his earring. And then we got a make-out session between Stephanie and Hunter.
Yeah, not PG. Not PG, people.
At least it wasn't SmackDown stuff.
This is true. This is very, very, very true.
Main event time. Really good match. Rhodes family. Cody and Goldust against the Shield in a no DQ match. Really good stuff. We got Rollins powerbombing Cody into the barricade. Goldust got speared into the barricade by the ring announcer. We had chairs involved. At one point, you know, Goldust brought in a chair, and then after he started laying out the Shield, what's it called? Reigns basically said to the effect, you should never drop the chair. Because that's smart, because, well, if you drop chair, Shield can use the chair. So Shield ended up using the chair. So you had Cody down. You had Ambrose trying to get Rollins into the ring to beat Cody. And then you hear the crowd roar, they're rumbling, something's going on. And then coming, charging out, the crowd is one and only the Big Show. And he came out through the crowd, over the barricade, knocked out Ambrose, knocked out Rollins, then was taunting Reigns. Cody Rhodes was able to get to his feet, goes for the disaster kick. Reigns ducked the kick, but not the punch. And he got knocked out. Cody, realizing what happened, went for the cover, and we have new tag team champions, Cody Rhodes, Goldust. Big Show walked up into the crowd. Goldust and Cody celebrated. Yes, chance of going crazy with Big Show leading them in the crowd. Triple H storms to the ring, pushes the Rhodes family out of the ring. He was livid. Big Show was happy. And we have new tag team champions.
This was so phenomenally well done. The fact that this got almost a half hour on Monday Night Raw was tremendous. The match itself, what can you say other than this was a pay-per-view quality match that we got for free, people, for free on Monday Night Raw. It was beautifully done, great story that was told, and then it's like I said to Rock, it's like 30 minutes, or basically, yeah, 30 minutes for this match. Shenanigans, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you're kind of wondering, well, you know, what shenanigans are we going to get? And then it's like Big Show shows up, and he just knocks Reigns out. He takes out the Shield and screws the Shield over and casually walks off like, yep, totally did it. Not even gonna, you know, doesn't, not even worried, not even concerned about what's gonna happen, about the fact he could get arrested, about anything else. It's like he just leaves through the crowd and he's standing in the crowd like, you know, yeah, what you gonna do? Bring it on, Hunter. What you gonna do? I mean, it's just, this was so well done.
It was well done. We were all expecting something to happen. Big Show shows up, costs the Shield, who I told you Friday should lose the belts. I thought it was going to be at the Cell, but it was tonight on Raw. But I think they're going to get them back here at some point because, well, Big Show interfered and he's not part of the company, so we may see the belt stripped away from the Rhodes family, given back to the Shield at some point here soon.
I don't know, because it was no DQ, can they? I mean, that's where that stip hurts them, because it's like, yeah, you know, Dean can interfere, but so can somebody on the Rhodes family side. And I don't know if that's going to hurt. They'll probably use that as the excuse, but I don't know if that's going to hold up.
Big Show doesn't work for the company. There's your, you know, reason.
But still, it's no disqualification.
Again, I mean, when you're the authority, anything goes.
Oh, I know, and that's going to be the excuse that they use is, you know, either Friday or next Monday, they'll either strip them of the titles or they'll set up a match for Hell in the Cell.
Mm-hmm. Either way, fantastic stuff. Great ending to the show. It was a positive ending to the show. Sent the people home happy, which is what you want.
Except for the Shield fangirls who are crying. Except the demons. The demons are happy. The Seth Roman fans, not so much.
Not so much.
But the Dean fangirls are good.
He still has his belt.
He still has his belt, but for how much longer we'll have to see, because, well, I think he's facing Ziggler
Wednesday.
Friday.
Wednesday on Main Event.
Or Wednesday?
Wednesday on Main Event.
Yeah, so we'll have to see.
Yes.
If Dean keeps that belt.
Yes, we shall. So that, folks, in a nutshell, is our review of Monday Night Raw. Thanks for bearing with us this evening. Internet's a bitch. That's the best way to put it. Yeah, pretty good show anyway.
This was way better than the last couple weeks. This was a nice, strong offering. You see where they're headed next, which is good. And I'm getting warm and fuzzies about Hell in the Cell. I think Hell in the Cell will be a better pay-per-view than Battleground, but I think they were always pointing at Hell in the Cell and not necessarily Battleground. I think it was just something, oh, we have to throw a pay-per-view together, so let's throw it together. Wham. There you go.
And that's indeed what they did. So on that note, we're going to head out of here because my connection's less than an hour and I'm pretty sure it's not going to go any longer past that one. So, thanks for tuning into the Raw Post Show. We'll be back next Monday night for another edition of the Raw Post Show. We'll see you Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern for the Rack Live at 11 p.m. Eastern. Lindsay, what are we going to be talking about?
Well, we're going to be talking all about Bound for Glory and TNA's impact. That's right. The biggest show of the year for TNA is coming up this weekend. So we're going to be doing Pick 'em. We're going to break down on all the matches. We're going to talk about the go-home show for Bound for Glory that's going to air Thursday night. So tune in, listen. We'll also have news. We'll have notes. We'll probably have hopefully an update on Bray Wyatt. By that point, what's wrong with him will hopefully have broken, and a whole bunch of other news notes and discussions and whatnot. So tune in Thursday, 11 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And we're going to update you on the road trip of Joseph Park and Showtime EY.
Oh my god, that's just genius. Whoever decided on that is genius.
We'll probably play a clip or two from it on the show Thursday. Saturday Night Midnight Edition CB Radio with myself, Ron Parks, Ace, and Subway, the Weird, the Wacky, the Unusual. Midnight is checking out cbradio.eataboyzone.com. Sunday Night WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. Back 11 p.m. Eastern, breaking down TNA Bound for Glory. If you want to be a part of Pick'em, tune in Thursday. We'll tell you about all the details, how to get involved with that. Follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, WTRProductions.net. Lindsay.
You can follow me on Twitter at Lins Ward, LNSWRD. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. Check that out. On there is a link to my Redbubble, which is a store you can go buy my stuff. It's also a link to my Behance profile, behance.net/Lins Ward. I've got a brand new piece up. Yes, Bray Wyatt needs a henchman, and that henchman has been drawn in the form of Eric Rowan, complete with Bob the Sheep mask. So go check that out. Luke Harper will come hopefully over the weekend, if not sooner. Depends on how fast I can get it drawn. But yes, so the Eric Rowan piece is done. It is available online for your viewing pleasure. So enjoy. And go to RackRadioShow.com.
Buy the official t-shirt of the Rack at ProWrestlingTees.com/RackRadioShow. Thanks to PW Mania, MemlanePro.com. We'll see you next Monday night live, hopefully at 11:30 p.m. Eastern for the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. As always, on WildTalkRadio.com.
Oh, listen now.